Marine Scramblies, your favorite What We Do in the Shadows rewatch podcast. I'm Claire.
This is Parson.
I'm Richie.
And I'm Matt.
And this week we have watched What We Do in the Shadows Season 5, ooh, Episode 5, entitled Local News. We love some journalism. Before we get into our recap, we have a couple of emails this week. Thank you so much for emailing. If you want a shout out at the beginning of the show, email us at brainscramblingspod@gmail.com. Shout out to Maddie, who said that they listened to us on their commute into work, and I thought that that was very wholesome. Bella, who legitimately made us fan art, which I appreciated so much. It was just our little faces on a Zoom screen.
It was very good.
It was cute.
It was so wholesome.
It's really good. Also, shout out to Mary, and shout out to Ani. Yes, my friend Ani, who was on the show, also sent us an email, and I know that she listens to every episode. So, hello, Ani. How are you doing? Anyway.
Also, shout out to the person in Australia who bought a sticker.
Yeah, oh, sorry. Yeah, sure. Turn of events. We've had this Redbubble store set up basically as a joke. But I bought a sticker. I think the only people who bought stickers were like us. And then somebody actually bought a sticker in Australia. So whoever you are, God bless you.
I really appreciate it, but I was hoping the first item sold would be the shower curtain. That's just a print of our logo over and over and over again.
Just like a white curtain with just like a little tiny logo on it.
I think it might be.
It's like $40. Somebody buy a shower curtain. Yeah. I'm pretty sure we'll have the prices set like as low as we can. So.
Yeah.
I need to, like, one day just walk into someone's bathroom, just randomly see that on like, a shower. That would be the most shocking day of my life. It's like, oh, I don't even know what this is about. I just kind of have it. Yeah.
Yeah, they don't know you're involved at all.
They don't even know what it is. They just, like, have it.
Thanks. Buy our merch. We're going to love it. All right. I guess it's time. Richie, we're just speaking, so it's time for the Richie recap, I think.
Let's get Richie the recap.
Okay, so we start this episode by being brought into your local news, Channel 8 at 7 o'clock. There is some flooding going on in Staten Island, but on which street? The street, of course, of our vampires. Ooh. And this flooding gives them the opportunity to become local witnesses for the local news. So we have Nandor going on to the news, giving a little interview with, I believe her name is Joanna Roscoe. About the floods, and he accidentally mentions that this flood is not as bad as the one as 1892, and that he has been living on Staten Island for centuries, which makes him worried that he basically just admitted to the entire world that he is a vampire. With this, the vampires go into a bunch of panic, everyone's really freaked out, Colin Robinson booty traps the house to beyond belief, it is incredibly dangerous to walk in that house. Nadja gets ready to go away. She has the to-go bag. She has a whole plan. She dyes her hair blonde so they won't just recognize her. And Laszlo has a very long plan that seems to be ever-changing and is never really concrete. We don't really ever know what the plan is, but he has a plan to get out. So, all the meanwhile, the vampires are freaking out with this commotion. But at the same time, Guillermo is at his mother's place, and he's preparing to say goodbye to her for what seems to be the final time, since he's becoming a vampire, doesn't trust himself around the humans at some point. However, he keeps on getting interrupted. He doesn't realize that there's something else going on that day, and him finding out that the vampires are on TV and having this kind of issue is also distracting him from doing what he needs to do there. So basically, this entire episode is just about how the vampires deal with this Nandor interview on the TV, and how they can prepare to face what they think is going to be the wrath of the people in Staten Island against them. Then also Guillermo trying to figure out how to tell his mom he might not be able to see her again, while still having to juggle around the irresponsibilities of the vampires. Also, don't think irresponsibilities is a word, but we're just going to roll with it. So I think it works.
We'll allow it, Rich. It's allowed. Go Richie recap this week. I think irresponsibilities can be. If responsibilities is a word, irresponsibility surely is.
Yeah. No, that's not how that works, but okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Disresponsibilities? A responsibilities?
Let's not get into it. We've got an hour. Okay.
It works. It works. You know what I meant. Yeah. It works here.
We know what you mean.
Yeah. For sure.
Hey, you know, Ernest Hemingway made up words as well. So did Shakespeare. Next up.
Are you just comparing Richie to Shakespeare and Ernest Hemingway?
Are you not, Carson?
Does anybody have overall thoughts on this ep?
I have more overall thoughts in general. In terms of,
okay, let's hear them.
This episode
overall thoughts.
What does that mean, Doug?
We had discussed how the last episode, the title leaked for, like, was it The Farewell?
Yes, or Exit Interview, I believe.
Exit Interview. And the more I watch this season, the more I become convinced that it's going to be him. Because it feels like the show is setting him up. Like, he's been taking, I want to say, more backseat role. Like, especially the past couple weeks, where it's like, his story isn't central to the vampires anymore. They're telling, like, these two separate stories.
Yeah.
And so I feel like they're kind of setting him up to be the one that is the exit energy.
And they do actually kind of cope without him in this episode.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's like they're prepping the viewer as well.
Yeah. Sad. Say goodbye.
So, Rich, I thought you were going to say something.
Oh, really? Oh, I have no plan to.
Oh.
Apologies.
you're just kind of agreeing along for the ride.
Just ruminating.
Yeah.
I liked this episode, but I thought it was less good than... I still liked it. I think it's the worst episode of the season so far.
I agree.
I think it's another one of those episodes that they're like, let's have a silly, goofy idea that we're going to execute. And honestly, I think the final scene of the show really, really paid off. I think they really brought it around for that scene.
The newscast scene. That is funny. I think my problem with it is that normally in the show, they have a silly, goofy idea that executed. It's great. This one, they had a silly, goofy idea, and they were kind of talking about the plans. Like, Nadja was like, oh, let's run away, and Laszlo was like, oh, let's kidnap this lady. And then they don't really do any of those things. The only thing that really happens is, like, the booby trapping, and then some.
Well, they try to kidnap her.
They do, but then they, like, don't really. Like, my problem is there's a lot of plans that are made that are not really executed upon, and I found that slightly dissatisfying. But, you know, the newscasting was good.
Claire, don't you? I mean, your favorite author is Neil Gaiman, who famously most of his dialogue is people talking about other things that did happen or are yet to happen.
I understand what Claire's saying about, like, things never really got off the ground for all the plans they may have had, but also I think maybe that was intentional. Because, like, the whole thing, like we said, is, I remember, like, at the end, Nandor is like, and we could do it all without you, Guillermo. Like, we didn't need you. When, like, very clearly, when, like, Guillermo's not there to help them out, they just have all these plans and all different opinions, and they don't actually do anything that ever works. Except for kind of the miraculous ending, which only worked because they are little supernatural beings who can hypnotize people. I think maybe it was intentional.
But if that was a subtle jab at the bad dialogue in Good Omens 2, then I will agree that some of the dialogue is bad. So you got me there.
I like the episode, though. I thought it was funny. I think it was another example of why season-long story arcs only come in like 5 minutes per person episodes is because they could all be resolved really quickly. And so instead, we fill the time with funny things that happen. And it was enjoyable. And I think a lot of people online were saying that they were like, wow, this was like a really funny episode. It was a really good episode. But I will contend that it was not a strong episode. I just thought it was funny.
I thought Guillermo's storyline was like genuinely pretty sad.
It was really sad.
I was so sad. Oh,
should we jump into it? I think that's the one that we can get the most mileage out of.
So let's jump into it. So basically, as Rich said, Guillermo is turning more into a vampire, and I had forgotten this plot point that other members of his family are also vampire hunters. So he's like, there's going to be a point where I'm like not going to be able to see them anymore. So he basically has this like kind of goodbye thing with his mom, but it's also his mom's birthday, and like also other members of his family, dude, as he's like turning more and more into
his
a vampire.
Cousin.
Yeah, his weird cousin.
His cousin who said he's like he's cut out Sierra Mist or something. What was that? Yeah. It was really sad though. I mean, it was kind of undercut with a very funny line of that his mom, well, I guess this was also sad, that at the end his mom said that this is like the third time that he's done this, but like won't tell her. Did you catch that?
Oh, that's so sad. No, yeah. That's, but like I feel like it's to the point where it's, he doesn't know when that like that day is gonna, because he's been slowly transforming into a vampire, right? Like he still clearly eats human food, doesn't have fangs, but like the cross is now burning him, right?
And he has less of a
reflection. So I think you have the point where it's like he's slowly transforming, so it's like he doesn't know when that last time is going to be.
Yeah, but then later, like even later on his phone, he's like looking at photos of his family. It's like really sad.
Well, the thing that really broke me was the plate of tamales with the like, I was like, oh.
Yeah, just eating them by himself in the room and realizing that like he's eating the food from his family that he's now estranged from. And he's looking at the TV and he's realizing that the vampires don't even need him after all. Like he comes back and he's like, oh, well, they've resolved it. So like, what? He's basically just like, well, what is my purpose in life is what I'm intuiting from that scene.
Yeah.
It's his Joker moment.
He's going to start dancing on a staircase next. Nobody's going to stop him.
The worst movie of that year.
He said what he said.
Yeah, I'll say it again. I did really like how they weave together the storylines as it was almost like it was in real time, at least for each other, that like when we cut away from the vampires, it was Guillermo seeing what then is happening with the vampires on TV. Yeah. I thought that was clever. It was also like that itself was kind of rewarding in a way. I feel like we sometimes talked about how like Carson, I feel like there was one episode where you talked about how the timeline like didn't match up at all. It didn't make sense. And this was like the exact opposite of that.
I'm appreciative of that in television.
Yeah.
I'm very appreciative because like sometimes like wildly different plots are implied to be happening at the same time, but they're clearly like complete, like one is happening during the day and one is happening at night. And it's like, this doesn't make any sense to me.
But I do want to know what time of day, or rather what season / time of day is this being filmed in? Because Nandor says it's in 2022, which I guess would make sense because a la 2023 airing. But Guillermo's going to dinner, but also it's like dark outside. Is he going to dinner at like 10 p.m.?
I'm pretty sure it's the 7 o'clock news, right? Channel 8 at 7 o'clock?
So. Yeah, I think it's 7 o'clock news. I think Rich, right?
So I guess it's like...
It's like the dead of winter.
Winter, autumn.
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the most inane conversation I think anybody has had on the podcast yet.
Well, the sun was positioned in this certain direction.
What? So. If anybody could do it, no. Rich, I think you could probably figure out what season it was. Time of day.
Well, because like they went to the mall and it was like pitch black outside because like it needed to be. And so,
yeah.
I mean, right now, you know, it's summer. You know, the mall closes at 9 or whatever.
Maybe the Staten Island mall is open super late.
Yeah.
It's a 24-hour mall.
Not shock me.
Guillermo also is maintaining the lie that he works at the railroad, which I forgot from the Pine Barrens episode, I think is maybe the first time that they say that, where Sean like, you guys keep weird hours at the railroad.
Do you see that funny line from his cousin? Because Guillermo was saying, like, well, actually, I'm kind of like in between. Like, I was at the old railroad, but now they're going to move me to another railroad. It's kind of like an adjustment. He goes, how many railroads are there?
that one got me, actually, yeah.
Yeah.
Just reminded me of that line from Barbie where she's like a fascist. Like, I don't even control the railroads or means of commerce.
Yeah.
The best line in Barbie.
Still haven't seen Barbie, guys, but I'll take your word for it.
Oh, Claire.
It's just that every AMC in New York is the scariest place I've ever been in my entire life, and I refuse to go. So.
The like liminal zone of that one AMC that goes like 13 stories down or whatever.
Yeah, the upper... There's two. All AMCs are weird. Okay, sorry. This is a tangent for another time, but it's fucking crazy here. Also, I saw a mouse at the last one, and also somebody I know got bed bugs from another AMC. So
got bed like, bugs from an AMC.
Yes.
Oh my god.
So I just can't go to the movie theater anymore. I'm terrified about it. I feel like I've been quiet and I haven't been keeping us on track, and I feel like I'm gonna keep us on track.
Was there something you wanted to talk about, Claire?
No, I just felt like we were having kind of a boring conversation. I gotta bring it back.
Let's talk about the vampires then, huh?
Yeah. How about them vampires? Apparently there was a flood in 1892. I don't think there was. I looked it up.
I actually wrote in my notes, was there a flood in 1892? Google. And then I didn't Google it.
I did, and I don't think there was, as far as I can tell.
The vampires are really stupid, as we've determined. Because Laszlo's immediate plan when Nandor comes back, having not actually done what he said he did, which is reveal that they're all vampires to everyone, Lazo's first plan is to kill Joanna. We're going to kill Joanna.
And Colin wants to fight, which I think is a very funny impulse for him specifically. He's like, Colin, let's fucking gear up.
He wants to home alone the house.
Yeah. But it's in character for Laszlo to want to, like, we know, like, Laszlo is a serial, like, killer, right? He's like Jack the Ripper, right?
Yes.
That's been established. So, like, I feel like that's very in character for him to want to go kidnap, like, the woman.
That's actually such a good point. That's really dark, but that's such a good point.
Yeah. You mentioned that also he had, like, the photos or, like, the, like... Oh, my bad.
Rich, go ahead.
Okay, I feel like I'm super dumb.
You have Zoom delay?
This is painful, guys. This is so bad.
Carson, are you on like 3G?
I feel like I'm on like a 15-second delay.
I would try not moving around, because every time you seem to move around, you clip in and out. Oh.
Yeah. That would also help, probably.
That probably helps, too. Yeah.
We can. But we don't want to, because we're going to listen to what Rich has to say right now. But yes. We'll get back to you.
Yeah. You're talking about how, like, Laszlo is Jack the Ripper. And he had all those, like, little visuals, like, for like, the different steps in his plan. I was able to, like, freeze at one of them and tried to get as, like, close as I could to reading them.
I did the
them.
Same thing, Rich. Can we compare notes? Yes! Okay.
Okay. I was going to say, he's learning.
Have the common, do you have the common traits of successful kidnappings, Claire?
No, I didn't get that one.
Okay. I don't have all of it because, like, the Hulu, like, bar wouldn't go away, so I can't see them all, but I have some of the important ones. So common traits of successful kidnappings. Above all else, be quiet and discreet, and then parentheses, don't hiss at strangers.
Advice I give myself every day.
Don't stop when you're walking towards the human. Glide lightly across the pavement.
This is advice for a rat as well.
Okay. Yeah. Cover their gaps with your... something.
Cover their what now?
Cloak, I think. Cover their gas with your cloak so to not middle their screams. I think that's what it says. I can't really tell. It's really hard. And then this one is funny. This is the last one that's actually, like, readable. Hands and feet tied. And then in parentheses, ask Gizmo where to purchase thick, sturdy tape.
Hey.
It's the most practical, yeah.
But yeah. Some impressive steps there. Yeah.
Those are good. I didn't get to note those, so I'm impressed that you got those. The ones that I had, a couple of other ones that I found from his little sketches, because whoever did these, like, honestly did a really good job. There's a lot there.
The new Michaela Barnes.
The new Michaela Barnes. Shout out if you want to come on the show. So he's basically just like Laszlo writing notes to himself. And so at the bottom of the end of his plan, it says, "You've done it again, old boy!" Exclamation point. That's really good. There is, like, a detailed street map with a little X on the roads, which was, like, very JFK. There's a
Vitruvian... Laszlo killed JFK.
Yeah, probably. There's some sort of Vitruvian man. There's also some cute little sketches of Colin and Nadja, like, in a little comic. And then there's some writing that I couldn't read, but every time it says ergo, it's in all caps, and that's in there, like, five times. There's a little note that says, like, perhaps my beautiful Nadja can sing, and then... That's all I could find.
Oh, that's
but there's was a
that,
lot there.
Is that for, like, create a diversion or something like
I
that?
I think so. It was on one of the boards. I was delighted by them.
Colin and Nadja? They're like comics of both of them?
Yeah, they're in, like, a scene.
Mm.
That's so sweet.
I know.
Not Nandor, though.
No, I don't think he's in there.
But Colin was his kid.
Yeah, and his lover.
None of that. We're getting that... in this season. Like,
but we get it in small background detail.
I guess. Yeah. Somebody in the TikTok comments was talking about how they didn't like the season very much because it didn't pick up on that, like, the plot line.
I mean, that's a valid criticism.
From season four, which I was like, actually, yeah, that's totally fair. Like, I wish that they addressed that a little bit more. But I think that's the nature of the show, and that you have an emotional moment and then you move on.
Into the background details. Exactly.
Yeah, that's definitely what
you just need to freeze frame through the episode.
Also, my God, I was watching this on my phone at the laundromat about 2 hours ago. And I don't have an ad blocker on my phone, so I had to get the ads. My God, the Hulu ads are bad. I got an ad for the Dracula movie, and then immediately an Olive Garden ad. And I was like, who do you think I am?
Oh, mine are all for, like niche dating apps for...
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Oh,
different really, demographics Carson? That I'm not a part of.
Just, yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
You guys must just seem...
Weird overlap.
Interesting.
I get erectile dysfunction pills, and I get weird... niche dating app.
Not a problem. Already handled.
Boom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we have a quick sidebar on names in this episode? Because there's some good names.
On names?
Lisa Lipton.
Lisa Lipton. Names?
I love Lisa Lipton.
I'm thinking mostly
Ted
of...
Spinelli.
Claire, I think you're going to like the Sally Rhubarb bit.
Sophie Rhubarb, please?
It was Sophie?
I think so.
Had Sally as well, Matt.
Is it Sally? Wow.
Cricket.
Maybe it was Sophie who said Sally on like the subtitles.
Maybe. I don't know.
No, you're probably right. I just can't hear
Sally.
I liked that.
I just really like somebody doing a bad American accent. It's actually my favorite accent to do is a European doing an American accent where they say the R's really hard.
Yes.
Yeah.
My favorite is Shrek, personally. No, I did like Sally Rhubarb. I want to see a Sally Rhubarb with Jackie Daytona living together yes. in like
oh my God.
Somewhere yes. in Middle America, North or South.
In Arizona.
Yeah. Yeah.
I laughed at the Laszlo line, the whole world knows that vampires are real and that we are they.
Yeah.
Because that phrasing is just
classic.
So funny.
What was that thing? Oh, did you guys pick up with Laszlo when Nando was bringing those bags over to Laszlo and he brought over like a plastic bag and Laszlo was like, not that one. It's translucent. It really made me laugh.
And then they have a whole bit about how like, oh, well, we could put a blindfold on her, but that would take time, which doesn't solve the problem and also doesn't take that much time. Yeah. Makes no sense. It's incredible.
Yeah. Like this is said. An incredibly niche reference.
Oh.
But at the Monsters Inc. laugh floor at Disney World, there's a joke that gets repeated every single time where one of the characters is like says, say your number out loud or I'll close my eyes so I can't hear you. And that reminded me very much of
Oh, that is similar.
I thought you were gonna make a reference to the Hims commercials on Hulu for ED pills.
That'd oh no, unfortunately not.
While we're making I've seen those. Good.
Is it the thing with like the dude and his dad?
Huh?
Huh?
Hope not.
Guess not.
Island boys?
Island dad.
Where were we?
Me tripping.
Oh.
We're all over the place.
I was going to say, while we're making niche references, Laszlo has a gong inexplicably, and I just thought about that time on Taskmaster that Al Murray went out and bought a gong from the gong shop that he knew that was nearby. Anyway. Sorry.
That's a good one.
That's it.
Also, during that whole thing where they're trying to figure out what to do, the guide just wanted to like flee in like only with Nadja.
Only with Nadja.
Yeah. Like pretty clear. Yeah. It's like, it could just be you and me. You know, they don't have to go. And then also funny, because Nadja dyes her hair blonde, so she won't be recognized as the brunette vampire. The guide then proceeds to dye her hair black. So they went from the problem of having a brunette and a blonde vampire to once again having a brunette and a blonde vampire, just so different people, so they'd still be recognized. But...
Also, Nadja looks great blonde. Just want to put it out there. Also, the doll is also blonde. They make the doll also blonde, which is adorable.
I didn't see that.
Yeah, it's really cute.
I was wondering if the doll was blonde by virtue of Nadja turning her hair blonde. Like, that somehow changed the doll? Or did she take the time to go through and dye the doll's hair?
Must be the latter, but then also must have, yeah. I'm just going to say, guys, I'm sure that you guys don't know this information, but I know this information. To take black, presumably virgin hair, meaning not dyed virgin hair. I mean, she's not, you know what I mean? And lift
it to that. Like, thanks for clarifying, Claire.
lift it to that level of blonde would take like several sessions and like hours and a bunch of toning and stuff to have it look good. So that's where my suspension of disbelief ends. Cause I'm like, there's no way she would have done that fast.
You do not live diegetically. No. That's about winter.
Also, y'all know that weird myth. I thought about this the other day. This is another thing you guys don't know. There was a weird myth for a while about how if you were on your period, you couldn't bleach your hair because you would poison yourself.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Oh my god.
Yeah. It's crazy. Womanhood is a prison.
That's the kind of thing you could like tell me and I'd like believe because I couldn't say like no, it doesn't. Like I wouldn't know.
Anyway, PSA, it's fine to bleach your hair when you're on a period. Don't worry about it.
I know we briefly mentioned it, but can we talk about what Colin's plan is here?
His final stand.
His is to have a final stand, but he booby traps the house, which we see in various stages of rigging up the chandelier of knives. He has bees at one point. He has what is it, like a bouncing Betty or something? Like a landmine? Yeah. Swinging axes?
Yeah.
He has, like, things shooting from the walls and flames?
Yeah.
Where did he get all this stuff? When did he have the time for that?
It's nuts.
Has it always been there?
Where did he get an active landmine?
This was my question. The time that it must have taken to settle that up, he must have had some of it set up before, which is even weirder.
How long was Guillermo's dinner? Well, I guess he had to go to Queens, right?
The Bronx, right?
The Bronx, you're right.
Oh, Bronx.
The Bronx.
So relative round trip time?
From Staten Island to the Bronx, I mean, yeah. Hour and a half. Easy hour and a half.
Okay.
If you take the express ferry, less. But I don't know what kind of coin Guillermo's packing, so.
So you're saying 3 hours commute time? Round trip?
Yeah. From Staten Island to the
Plus
Bronx.
Plus a dinner? Wow.
Well, is he driving or is he taking the subway? Because I don't think he has a car. But they do have a car.
He does have a car.
Yeah, he has a car.
Did they have a car before? I never knew that.
So
the vintage car? I guess.
That's from when they built it in season 3.
Oh, shit.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that plus Guillermo has a car in season 4, doesn't he? With all the money from the he was stealing from the nightclub.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot about that. I was thinking about his old car. Yeah, he has his G money with G wagon.
I don't know if it was a G wagon, but it was like a Benz or something.
It's a G wagon.
You got me. All right, well, cars exist.
Oh, also talking about Colin Robinson and his, like, Custard's, like, last stand kind of, like, mentality for this. I thought it was funny when they were just, like, I think people just having a conversation, like, Nandor, and I think it was when Guillermo got in, and Colin Robinson's just, like, a little roll, like, on the floor for, like, no reason.
Oh, my God, yeah, like, his little tactical
extreme
roll.
And parkour. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was just, like, right in the background of him doing it. Yeah, it was funny.
Yeah. No need at all.
Of all the vampires that could flee, I feel like Colin's the one that could get away with it. You know?
Yeah.
Like, if they knew they were vampires, he's the one that could leave. But he's the one that's, like, preaching them to stay and, like, it makes no sense. It's all backwards.
Because how do you prove someone is an energy vampire?
You can't, right? I assume. Right.
Like a normal vampire.
Can
eat human food, right? Or no?
I don't know. Human food. Have we ever seen him eat?
We must have.
I don't think so.
I don't think so.
That's a good question.
But I think he can. He's a daywalker. We know
he probably, yeah, he probably can because there's not like that component of like needing to drink blood. So
yeah, but I think he gets his nutrition from the energy.
I guess if his eyes started glowing, that'd be a dead giveaway.
Well, if he gets too powerful and starts levitating, I feel like that would also be a dead giveaway.
Yeah,
grows hair that isn't there. Yeah,
you could just say he went to Turkey.
Yeah.
Can we talk briefly?
Came back with some veneers.
Good callback. Talk briefly about the evolution of Guillermo's powers over time? Because I'm confused at the way that they came in.
Like, are you saying that there's like an event that precedes him getting a new power?
No. I'm saying the order in which he acquires powers seems to be a little strange. because, like, he can still go out in the sun, but he still has the weird vestigial bat wings, as far as we know. But then the crucifix doesn't start to burn him until this episode, as far as we can tell.
Yeah.
And now he has super strength. Yeah. But he can still eat food, and I guess, like, probably garlic doesn't bother him.
Yeah.
I don't know. It seems it's a little patchworky.
Hmm.
Maybe he's just going to become, like, a super vampire. Like, he has all of the good stuff and none of the bad stuff.
And his reflection's all faded now.
Wait, what?
Yeah, did you guys not see that?
No.
No, I missed that.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Oh. It's like my favorite part, actually, the special effects.
What?
So it's like his mother has her hand on his back in the mirror, and you can see her hand through him. Like, he's getting more
transparent.
Whoa. Yeah, it's actually a really nice visual effect.
No, I didn't notice that at all.
That's a good shout.
Yeah. Wait, that's a thing?
Yeah.
What are you
doing? Go back and look at it, I swear to God. It's like, it's giving very much Back to the Future when he fades away.
Wow.
Claire, nice. I love that you just dropped that and you're like, oh yeah, you guys all saw that.
I did not.
I was more distracted by that scene being almost entirely in Spanish, which I thought was really wonderful.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny how they don't do subtitles for like almost like all this different Spanish dialogues, except for like the ones that are like pretty vital to the plot.
Which is like, turn the shit off. I know what they're
saying. There are some little comments that I did. Like, I know a little bit of Spanish, and so when he's like, Mom, like, I need to talk to you. She's like, siempre tan dramático. He's always so dramatic.
Guillermo was really feisty again this episode. I don't know if feisty is the right word, right? But he was like,
sad boy.
Like, he was drawing the boundary, right? That he's like, I'm not going back, but I will call them. Like, I'll try and call them. He's like, everything will be fine if they just answer the fucking phone. He dropped 2 F-bombs this episode. Which I was like, damn, Guillermo.
Getting
like,
rowdy.
Yeah.
Just show Jeff and all over the place.
Show that Guillermo to episode 1 Guillermo. Different people. That's a character arc, baby.
Nanor can throw knives.
Oh, yeah, that was sick.
How come it's not a thing that they just don't explain, but he can just do that. I'm like, all right, Giga Chad.
Well, no, but they have telekinesis, so maybe he's just like telekinesis-ing knives.
Telekinesis?
That's what I would do. Telekinifing? Yes. Like, teleknifing? I don't know. It didn't really work. You tried, but you failed. But it's fine.
Sorry.
I have a... Oh.
Yes.
Yeah. Sorry. I had a note that I couldn't quite understand. It just says pup raid.
Yeah.
Oh, puppy parade.
Do we want to talk about the last scene? Because it is like incredibly delightful.
Let's talk about how they get there, right? So they try and kidnap Joanna. Sure. What's her face? And
they kamikaze.
Yeah.
Blow up the.
They fall. So funny.
Right in the sinkhole. I mean, brilliant. Brilliant. What was it? Oh, yeah. And then Colin just, like, goes and blows up the news van with, like, a gallon of gasoline strapped to his back.
It's so funny.
That's, like, what's so crazy to me is he was just like, yes, this is exactly the right level of diversion that we need. Which, actually, in fairness to him, it was what they needed. Great, because they needed to cut off the broadcast. But then... they all chase after Joanna, what's her face, and Colin cannot turn into a bat, and he just yells, assholes, as they all like fly away from him. And this is where Ethan said, this is the best part of the episode, which is the scene where they take over the newscast.
Correct.
And as someone who watches and like pointedly watched local news for a while, this was a fantastic parody of local news.
Sad but true.
In what ways? Explain.
That's great.
Oh, just absolutely nothing more than surface level into any local story that is hyper local, very meaningless. Pup raid is really not a useful story. Just the weird technical errors, like Colin's shirt being green screen, which was very, very funny. And the forced puns. It was fantastic.
What's the fun, yeah?
Well, I mean, pup raid is a pun.
But yeah,
there's they made a couple other ones. I think Colin made a couple when he was talking about the weather. But I can't remember what they are.
Great job.
He did.
I wrote Colin was born to be a weatherman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like most weathermen are naturally, like, boring.
Well.
Wow.
Hey now.
Wow.
Rude.
If you're a weatherman listening to this, Carson said it, not us. Right in.
No, I tell what I said.
Yeah.
Right in, please. Prove me wrong. I bet you no meteorologists watch the show because it's too out there for them.
Do you guys know about how Mark Prosh used to go on local news as a character?
No, what?
Yeah. So he like kind of, he got somewhat famous for like playing a character, which is basically Colin Robinson, or just like the character he plays in anything, on local news, like getting interviewed on local news.
No
and
way.
They never like caught on that it was just him
no way.
Fucking with them. Yeah. And so it's like partly how he got like somewhat famous, at least on like YouTube really? Clips of it. So somewhere out there,
insufferable Anchorman 2 marketing, like, and it was Ron Burgundy was like hosting everything, and it was awful and terrible.
No.
Oh wait,
you really don't remember it?
Yeah,
Ron Burgundy. He was like he hosted like SportsCenter, and then he like hosted like the Today Show. Yeah. It was insufferable.
Yeah.
I love Will Ferrell. That was insufferable.
Yeah. This entire like scene of them like having to do the news like kind of like impromptu reminded me when I was in eighth grade. I did tech crew at my intermediate school.
King.
And part of tech crew meant that I was in charge of the morning announcements. So we'd have like whoever's doing the morning announcements, I think it was like our like president or like our vice president would do it. And then I would do like the mics and like the cameras and stuff like that.
I also did that.
But then like one day they just didn't show up. So me and the other guy did tech crew. We just had to like impromptu like go on the morning announcements and do all the things that they had to do is like read the scripts and stuff like that. It was very eighth grade flashbacks there, tech crew.
Oh my god.
Ryan, if you're listening to this, we did a great job that morning.
Never forget you, Ryan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch he's like a producer at CNN now because he like got inspired in eighth grade.
Yeah. Ryan grew up to be James Cameron. That example I just picked there. I don't really know why I said that.
James Cameron is pretty old, Rich.
No, I just age differently. Yeah. Rich is an energy vampire, though. He doesn't age normally. It reminded me of the Whose Line Is It Anyway game newscasters, that's all.
Of the what, sorry?
Crickets.
There's a Whose Line Is It Anyway improv game where they play newscasters, and it's always Colin Mockery, another Colin. Colin and Ryan are the hosts, and then usually... Oh, no, it's usually Colin... You know what? The details don't matter. I was about to list all the people, but nobody gives a shit who was being who, so I'm just going to let that one be.
I like how we have all at some point, I feel like mostly me, have all been in our own little... arena of just like boring little tangents tonight.
What do you mean?
This episode is not
this is gonna be a wild episode to listen to,
I think, because, and I mean this respectfully to the people who made this show, this is not a substantive episode, right? There's little to sink our teeth into here, and I don't really think we're grasping for straws. I think it's just a little late.
9:50 p.m.
is right.
Yeah.
No, I don't think I think this episode was set up specifically to get to the like to get to the newscaster scene. It was like they know we want to get here, and they're like, "How can we get there in any way possible?" And so there was zero character development for any of the other vampires, except Guillermo did have his very little moment. That was, I think, the best part of the episode for me. But other than that, like, well, I mean, it was funny, so I enjoyed it. But
yeah.
There's just not a lot to dive into for a substantive talk about for a podcast.
And so another thing that we didn't mention at the newscast that like maybe would be an issue that didn't really address was that clearly Colin Robinson was doing the weather, the guy just like killed the weather woman.
Yeah, and he was just on screen.
Yeah. They didn't hypnotize them afterwards. Like, at least not to us.
Yeah.
So maybe that becomes an issue. Maybe not. But...
No, I'm sure they hypnotized the doctor. I mean, they must have, right?
I hope so. Like they didn't hypnotize us, at least.
The basketball game? Yeah, but we know the vampires on the show already.
Didn't see.
They can't show us the hypnotism because then we would have been hypnotized and you would have broken the whole reality of the show.
This is true.
Wait, sorry. I just have stumbled upon a fatal plot hole for the show, which is that they're so worried about being found out about being vampires, but it's a documentary about them being vampires that at some point will be released. So what the fuck do they think is going to happen? It makes no sense.
Claire, I was like, right before you were about to say that, I was going to say, watch someone make a YouTube like video essay about why this is the most important episode of the whole show, and we were just bragging about how boring it is, and it's all about how it like breaks the fourth wall and how that means something with
it's commentary on journalism.
It's meta commentary about yeah.
Probably. End credit scene. Liked it.
Oh, I missed it. What?
The mid credit scene, Carson, of yeah, running through the traps.
I did not see that.
He says some like really sad line, and then he goes through the traps.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
And ask Tyler what he thought about it.
No. I'd be so that question. That makes sense.
Did you just tell yourself?
What?
Huh? What?
What happened? What?
Forget. Carson, the scene is that Guillermo runs through the traps that Colin set up that he didn't know about, and so he actually like really badassly goes through the hallway, very a la Indiana Jones,
really badassly, or yeah,
Sonic 2,
if you will, almost slice
getting
off
that
Meg.
Green jewel. Yeah.
This is unrelated from the podcast, Matt, so I would cut this out.
No,
but we've got these like little like fruit roll up snacks at CVS. And on the back, you get like a little, you get like these little like animal trading cards and stuff like that. They're sick. There's like 60 of them. And one of them was an Echidna. Isn't Knuckles an Echidna? Isn't that what he is?
Matt, I am desperate, Matt.
Oh. You also realized I was raising my hand there.
Knuckles is an echidna, yes, Rich. Answer your question.
Thank you. Thanks for clearing that up.
Oh, yeah.
good right, clarification.
Well, I feel so bad for the listener on this episode. This is going to be a rough one to get through.
Yeah, somebody commented that they liked the weird format episode, so God bless. This is for you, bestie.
I don't know where the natural like 15 or so minute breaks I'm going to put in here are. Like, I don't know if we can do it this episode.
There's nothing. Do we want it? We got like 5 minutes left. Do we want to do our ratings and stuff?
Yeah. Carson, yeah. I actually do think this would be funny if you brought in Tyler here just to rate the episode. Yes. If you can, you know, on mic, give him like a 2-sentence synopsis of this episode and then have him give his rating.
Oh, I thought it was going to be 2-sentence synopsis of him.
Ooh.
Yeah. Actually, that'd be helpful for us.
Yeah, you probably should do a lead-in.
Wait, what? Sorry, I was getting Tyler. I missed that.
Too busy in fruit roll-up.
What? Carson, I think it'd be helpful for what's Tyler that? If you gave him like a little log line synopsis of the episode, and then based off of that slash what he's overheard, which is likely nothing, if you could give his rating of this episode as an expert.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
I can't hear you, so.
Well, half the problem.
My volume's all the way up. So.
Hello.
Hey, Carson.
Do you hear that?
I mean, it's all on your end. I don't.
Aha, there we go.
It's good.
Okay. There we go.
Cool.
So, I don't know. Matt, you give long light of the episode. It's up to you. Go.
No. That was... No, Carson, that was an assignment I gave you.
Nandor, who is one of the vampires, accidentally almost reveals that they're vampires to the local news crew. They spend most of the episode freaking out about this. And then at the end of the episode, they try to kidnap one of the newscasters, and they end up on the local news and they do a news segment.
So they try to not be on the news, but that gets them on the news.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's fun.
Okay, so the question is, you have to give a gay rating out of something involved in this. between one and I don't know. He hasn't listened to the show. I don't think he knows about the Gettysburg ratings.
But Al Claire's Gang, on the show.
You'll have one day Elton John.
Sure. Go for it.
Maybe like a Neil Patrick Harris.
Also valid. All
right.
This is like high school. I just make up whatever.
Question mark out of three Elton Johns. That's his answer.
Okay. I mean, that's about as understandable as Richie's ratings. So
that's pretty good, yeah.
I thought it'd be funny if the rating was just Neil Patrick Harris.
Yeah.
Neil Patrick and Harris.
But, leave it there.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's that relates to the show, actually.
Yeah.
It's a deep cut.
Deep there cut. We go. Yeah.
Not a very gay episode. Not going to lie. I'll give it, like, one out of three owner sessions that Nadja would need to dye her hair blonde.
Pretty straight episode. There was that moment though, the guy just like wants to run away with Nadja, just them two.
Oh,
so I think that brings it down maybe a little bit. So I think I'll give it maybe two out of like the 13 dozen booby traps that Colin Robinson has assembled throughout the house.
That's a very low straight rating. Although you just said it was a very straight up.
I said, I'm not gonna lie, I somehow forgot to subtract 2 from 13, which was my thinking. 11 from the 13 dozen booby traps that were littered throughout the house.
13 dozen? 11 out of 13 dozen?
Oh, yeah. God.
What is that?
11 out of 13 dozen? Is that what you said?
13 out of 12. That's what Richie said. 11
out of the 13 dozen. I think there's a lot of traps there.
11 dozen out of 13 dozen? Or 11 out of 13 yes. dozen?
11 dozens out of 13 dozens.
Then why is it not 11 out of 13?
What the fuck are we talking about?
Okay, 121 out of the 133. Is that the correct? No, that's definitely not the correct math. 143.
It's really important that we get this math right.
This is correct. 13 times 12.
Respectfully, this is the worst episode we've ever done.
132 out of the 156. That sounds much larger now. But okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Good luck beating that.
I think you brought up the Nadja and the guide having their little running away together, perhaps to Alpha Centauri. I don't know. You brought that up. Yeah.
Thank you.
So I'm going to give it 2 out of 3 rolls of, what is it, fruit by the foot with echidnas on it? What the fuck you're talking about?
Well, now I got to leave that
so
in.
You get trading cards, and one of the trading cards had an echidna on it.
Why is the echidna trading?
No, I'm trading the echidna. In fact, my sister wanted it. She was willing to trade me her earthworm.
Richie, I think that's illegal.
Trading an earthworm for an echidna. Okay, sorry, Matt. What's your rating?
Well, I'm going to rate mine based off of not only the guide trying to go away with Nadja, but the completely forgotten story or plot point that we did not talk about at all, which is that Nandor is the entire episode looking for Guillermo and his help, and where is he? To which to which Laszlo replies, Gizmo is not here, and he's very protective of him. So I would actually argue that this is a pretty gay episode, and that we have not only Nandermo, but Guy Dodja.
Nadai.
Or an echidna.
So, and... what? Okay. However, in my thinking about that, I actually didn't come up with an actual rating.
Good.
And so
okay, just silence.
Just gotta go with them.
Thanks, Matthew. Very good.
I'll give us a solid 3 out of 4 here, which is the same as our ratio.
You know what? I'm just going to go ahead and do something we've never done. I'm just going to record a little disclaimer right now. Hey, listener, don't listen to this fucking episode. It's the worst one we've done. Just skip it. Listen to something else.
Can't wait.
It was a good one.
If you made it to the end of this episode, bless you.
God, wait, guys, did we... Is it worth looking at IMDb real quick?
I'm there. No reviews.
No reviews.
No reviews.
Although this is no reviews, but this is the highest rated episode of the season.
No.
Oh, that's wrong.
That's unreal.
Is. That's objectively incorrect. I'm so
It's a little
sorry.
Early, but it is. It beats Pride Parade by 1/10.
Wow. No, that's wrong.
Yeah, I vehemently disagree with that, but that's all right. Well, anybody got anything else, or should I wrap this corn dog up?
I just, if they make it to the end of this episode, man, they're true fans, because this was rough. I feel bad.
Yeah. I feel like we should give like a promo code or something like that if they made it to the end, even though we don't have one.
I honestly had the same thought. I was like, listen, if you make it to the end, like, email us and we'll send you a
sticker. Let's use somebody else's promo code. Does like Drew Gooden have like a promo code for like SeatGeek or something like that?
Oh yeah.
Can we help them out like that?
Use promo code oh no at Squarespace for my other podcast.
Okay, cool. I'll just to try and really wrestle us back to the point of our podcast. I'll rip off some AV Club review here, which is that they rated this pretty highly. They don't give it a number or anything, but they talk about how on a macro scale it all highlights the themes of the season as Guillermo is torn between worlds, especially as the vampires prove they don't actually need him around to fix their messes, and I think that is the best takeaway we could have from this episode, which is that while silly,
Matt, no.
It meant something to the themes of the season. Guillermo was leaving.
You got us there.
Yep.
Cricket. Like any good podcast, we're just plagiarizing left and right from actual media sources.
Everyone, you should read the AV Club reviews because they do a much more concise job of what we have done here tonight.
You know, we are not plugging a competitor. Delete that.
I would love to see them try and compete with this.
You don't have that TikTok market that we have? Anything else, or can I close out?
Please.
All right,
please,
well,
put us out of our misery on this one, Claire.
It's been an episode of Brain Scramblies. Feel free to hit us up on the socials. We're at scramblies_pod on X. And TikTok and Instagram.
And X Hamster.
And we're on Pornhub. Hit us up there. OnlyFans. email us at brainscramblingspod@gmail.com. Give us your thoughts. I'm really sweaty and my AC is off. I need to go home. I am home. But I need to go now. And that's it.
Alright. Bye.
Bye.
Sorry. Bye.